It's the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast for the latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Ryan Martin, our chief meteorologist, who is calling for more hit and miss rain in the coming days. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news, a meeting of the Indiana Rural Caucus at the State Fair. What did they talk about? We'll tell you. Also, an update on the New World screwworm and the markets to open up the week on Monday. Very quiet and mixed. We'll have settlements and John Zenker market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The Rural Caucus meets at the State Fair in keeping New World screwworm out of the U.S. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The Indiana State Fair has been the meeting place for the Indiana Rural Caucus for 15 or so years now. We discussed the Rural Caucus and its importance on the latest Indiana Ag Policy podcast from Hoosier Ag Today. State Senator Gene Lysing, chair of the Senate Ag Committee, explains how it got started.
Senator Richard Young, a Democrat from Southern Indiana. I'm a Republican from Southeastern Indiana. We decided to do it because there were so few legislators elected that really understood ag and rural.
And it's been a bipartisan event ever since its inception. Speakers who represent ag and rural organizations come to the Normandy Barn at the fairgrounds to share concerns with legislators facing rural Indiana.
We had everything from Homeland Security to the Department of Ag and their trade development. We had the healthcare people in regard to the impact of state and federal legislation on hospitals. We actually had food safety.
This year was the largest rural caucus gathering yet, boasting over 30 legislators and over 100 people total. Lysing says the Rural Caucus helps make sure rural communities don't get left out of economic development discussions.
You know, Indiana has a $35 billion agricultural industry. People just don't realize that. You know, I was just in a meeting in the last couple days where I wanted to stand up and scream. They were talking about other economic development, and I said, hey, don't forget, agriculture is, you know, it's an annual amount of $35 billion, and that doesn't include all the extra things.
Hear more from Lysing, State Senator Gary Byrne, and State Representative Bo Baird on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you can watch it on our Facebook page.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
$750 million. That's how much USDA is spending to keep the New World screwworm out of the U.S. CJ Miller has the story.
We are going even further and taking the most sweeping actions in our country's history to stop this pest in its tracks.
And that's U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, who recently rolled out a plan to keep the New World screwworm from coming into the U.S.
USDA will invest and build a domestic sterile fly production facility in Edinburg, Texas, which is situated about 20 miles from the southern border and complements the dispersal facility we have already begun production on. With a capacity to produce 300 million sterile screwworm flies per week, this facility will triple our current output and eliminate our sole reliance on Panama and Mexico for sterile fly supply.
She says USDA plans to spend an additional $100 million to identify new technologies and strategies for getting rid of the pest.
I'm calling on the brightest minds in the country to build on our existing tools and help us outpace this pest quickly and in the most innovative way possible.
Rollins also says that USDA is hiring new employees called tick riders for surveillance of the New World screwworm.
The tick riders are mounted on horseback and will provide the first line of defense against a New World screwworm outbreak along the U.S.-Mexico border. We're also training our beagles of the Beagle Brigade to detect screwworm infections and will be significantly ramping up our border surveillance program.
In the meantime, Rollins adds that the border with Mexico will remain closed to cattle imports. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Seed Genetics Direct is proud to announce their new 2026 seed guide is now available for viewing at seedgeneticsdirect.com. They've added three new powerful hybrids to their corn lineup, along with seven new soybean releases, including one that shows natural resistance to white mold. There's lots to be excited about for the 2026 growing season. View the Seed Genetics Direct seed guide online and make your shopping list today. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got some scattered shower and thunderstorm action trying to work through the Hoosier State here today. Needed moisture, but I'm not sure everybody gets it. This is part of the action that started overnight last night in northwest and west central parts of Indiana. Now, as we move through the day today, I think we see this moisture move from northwest to southeast across most areas. We're going to be picking up anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch. I don't look for coverage to be any better than about 75 to 80%, though. So there will be some areas that get missed. Most of this is done as we move into and through the sunset hours this evening. May see a longer tail linger down near the Ohio River as we move into tomorrow morning and midday. But once again, no changes to that actual precipitation setup that we're seeing in terms of amounts. By the time we get to tomorrow afternoon and into early Thursday, we're going to start to see some cooler, less humid air try and push down in. Now, it's not cold, but I think I'll just say more pleasant, and the humidity values dropping is going to be a key here. The last part of the week, Thursday, Friday, looking spectacular, less humid, temperatures back down in the mid-70s, and the weekend looks very pleasant as well. May have to deal with a few pop-up scattered showers in a few areas at Sunday, midday, and afternoon, mostly central and southern Indiana. Then behind that, we're back to the pleasant weather conditions, a reinforcing shot of cooler Canadian air coming through the upper Midwest for next Monday and Tuesday. We'll keep the dryness around through Wednesday as well. Later part of the week, Thursday, Friday, showers and thunderstorms coming in from the west and northwest, anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain possible. Coverage around 60%, well, we'll call it 80% of the Hoosier State. We follow that up with another round of strong thunderstorm action potentially as we kick off the Labor Day holiday weekend, Saturday the 30th. Big boomers are possible down in the Ohio Valley, but after that, we should dry down for the rest of the Labor Day weekend. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold. Very quiet Monday markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and this update is brought to you by Farm Progress Show. Ever wonder what's next for agriculture? Farm Progress Show has your answers. Farm Progress Show, where progress meets possibility. FarmProgressShow.com. Settlements are on the way on the market review. We begin, though, with commentary from John Zanker, analyst at Risk Management Commodities. I spoke with him at the end of the session. Certainly would appear that traders are keeping an eye on the big crop tour and results being posted to X as they go. Nothing real market moving, though, John, as we're very close to even in corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Yeah, it's kind of a, we've got a couple things going on, of course. The eastern leg starts in Ohio, and I think they're actually going to be in eastern Indiana today as well, and or already are in eastern Indiana. So mixed reports there. Of course, Iowa and parts of Indiana have certainly been on the dry side lately. It was nice to get a good rain here and on the north side of Indianapolis and on up to Lafayette, but and about 70% coverage of the state, it looks like, with an inch of rain or so. So we came out pretty good over the weekend. Ohio, not so much. Western Illinois, not so much. So, you know, there's still just enough skepticism, and rightfully so, on how we're going to finish this crop out. And on the western leg, however, it sounds like some really big yields are being found in South Dakota so far. And so, you know, is South Dakota going to offset the problems in Ohio? Well, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But western belt huge. We've been feeling that way since the start. We have some really good places here in the eastern belt, but overall not as good as what we're seeing out west.
And John, absent any trade news, is this really what we have to look for right now to move the markets, results coming from that crop tour?
Well, a 188.8 took the market by surprise. I don't think anybody, you know, Stone was at the 188 level, and they took some flack for that. And Arlen's yield model was at 186.9. He took some flack for that. But we saw an excellent start out west. We've seen some excellent rains, you know, some record rainfall in July, and now some strong rainfall in areas in August. And I think that 188.8 is the highest we're going to see, but I could see it still coming in around 186. And you know what? That's a whole lot of corn. And you know, we're not fully prepared for the impact of that, mainly by not having very much of it sold. And, you know, most of us are in that boat, from analysts to producers. We, you know, we're just not really happy with what we have on the books so far, at least with corn.
Corn, soybean, and wheat export inspections were in the range of estimates. Probably nothing exciting that came out in that report, but in the range of estimates. Talk about demand overall.
Well, corn demand just continues to be exceptional. And but you and I have been talking about that for 6 months. You know, I've just been thrilled with the export demand and domestic demand, and yet we just couldn't get the market to move on it. And then we've piled on a record South American soybean crop, followed up now by a record South American corn crop that may continue to get bigger. And then we get a 16.7 billion bushel corn crop, which dwarfs the previous record. I mean, we're just piling on supply stuff that's overwhelming the demand side. And soybean demand, while corn demand is exceptional, soybean demand isn't, at least on the export front.
John Zanker, market analysis. John is at Risk Management Commodities, 866-937-9027. On the Hat Monday market review, mixed in corn, mostly higher. September goes 0.75 cents lower, 383. December, 406.5, up a penny and a quarter. March up a penny and 0.75 cents at 424.25. Down a penny and a half on September beans, 1020 and 0.75. Novi, 1041. 1¼, down a penny and a quarter. And September wheat, 5.02¾, losing 3¾. The protein sector higher, October live cattle, 231.17, 52 cents up, and up 2 cents on the October lean hogs, $90.12. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.